Lord God and Father, we pray that now as we turn to your word, your Holy Spirit will guide our thoughts and minds so that we might understand the things you want to say to us this morning. And we ask this in the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. You sit down. Well, we're continuing our series, our Lent series, Living Hope. And the theme for this week is courage. And what I'd like to do this morning is draw your attention to some of the parts of Christian living which do require courage. Some of what I'm going to say has been covered in the leaflet, which a lot of us, of course, are reading at the moment. And let me say at the very beginning that our living hope has to be at the very core when we think of the courage we need to live the Christian life. Let's start at the very beginning, shall I? The courage needed to become a Christian. Perhaps you might find it strange that I should say that you need courage to become a Christian. But of course, today, for many people, they're not brought up at all understanding the Christian faith. It's quite foreign to a lot of people. And let's understand that today, in fact, largely speaking, if you ask people what is right, they might say, well, what is right is actually what I think is right. There's no real black and white at all. There's no real distinction and absolute right in their eyes. And yet the Christian faith would say, aha, that's not right. What is right is what God says is right. What God says is the absolute right. And it's not for us, in fact, to decide what is right and wrong. And therefore, to come across people who say, well, to be a Christian, you have to accept what God says is right, actually comes as a bit of a shock. For us, perhaps, that's a surprise. I mean, we've known it, haven't we, for so long, that what God has said is right. But we have to understand that in today's society, this actually isn't altogether so. What God says is right is told to us in the commandments, the first of which is, you shall have no other gods before me. And Jesus summarized the commandments in these words, love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Just think about it for a minute. This is an exceedingly high standard of living, particularly for people today, and there are a lot of people today who think naturally, well, I'm good enough. Just trying to live a good life is surely good enough for God. And God's answer is, sorry, that's not true. You have to put me first as the first step. You have to love others as much as you love yourself. And when we look at that standard of right and wrong, perhaps suddenly we realize that we've got it wrong. And to admit at any time that we've got something wrong, in fact, takes courage. And I think we should therefore all be aware of the courage it takes for somebody to make a big change in their lives. Our living hope is that through believing that Jesus, who is perfect, can also make us who are imperfect, perfect, right with God, is something that for a lot of people, they would find quite difficult to accept. It is a risk, therefore, and takes courage for somebody to come before God and say, yes, I know I'm wrong, but thank you that through Jesus, I can be made right, and all the wrongs can be put right not by myself, but by the work of the Son of God. Secondly, I want to say to you this morning, genuine prayer takes courage. That might again come as a bit of a surprise. Does it really take courage to ask God to help somebody in need? Well, perhaps not. But it does take courage to pray honestly. And what I mean, do you have the courage to say to God, particularly perhaps when you're feeling a bit low and a bit depressed, that God has let you down? You might be startled that I should even make that suggestion, that we should say that. But you know, firstly, if we understand that we are wrong and that God is almighty and holy, when we come to pray, we actually have the audacity, as people who aren't worth very much, to come into the presence of an almighty and holy God. Let's be reminded about Isaiah. He had the vision of coming into the presence of God. And what he said was this: "Woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." It's an amazing thing that through Jesus we can come into the presence of Almighty, Holy God. And if we think of our unworthiness, it actually does take courage to do that. When I said we have to be honest with God, do you remember the prayer in the Psalms which Jesus repeated on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out to you day by day, but you do not answer. David was called the friend of God, but he was totally honest with God. And when he was down and felt depressed and felt God was not at his side, that God had forsaken him, he was quite willing to admit it. But then how foolish of us, in fact, to think that we can't be honest with God. What else does it say in the Psalms? Psalms 139, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." And that psalm also says that God knows us before we were born. He even knows that we're going to speak what we're going to say before we say them. How foolish to think that we can actually hide something from God. So I say to you, have courage and be honest with God. The full thought might be terrifying, but we have this living hope that through Christ, our great high priest, and I quote from Hebrews, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence, where we will receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let me give you that hope again. It's a wonderful verse. We can approach God's throne of grace with confidence, where we will receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Thirdly, what about the courage we need just for Christian living? The Beatitudes teach us about Christian living, and some of the things that Jesus teaches us certainly are very demanding. And they don't go along with what people might think today is what you require for a successful life, which is look after number one. We are told in the Beatitudes that we should be humble, to share the sufferings and sadness of others, to be submissive, to long for what is right, to understand other people's needs and be merciful, to have pure thoughts, to seek and speak out for peace and justice, to expect persecution. I want to say something now which I know is controversial and you may disagree with me, but it's the way I feel. Just in the past few weeks or so, several governments, including our own, have decided, and perhaps it's a prudent thing to do, that they need, in fact, to put more money from the government into the increasing arms for the state of our world today to protect us, and I'm sure that's absolutely right. But what distresses me is that this is going to be done at the expense of giving aid to poorer nations. And to me, anyway, that does not fit in with Jesus's teaching about Christian living. Certainly, we might need that money, but I am very sad that we have to take it from giving aid to others. If we have these high standards that Jesus taught us in the Beatitudes, we might well expect criticism and persecution when we take a stand for the standards that Jesus has set. But we have a challenge, don't we? Do we have the courage where we are able to speak out for the poor, for the downtrodden, to speak out against injustices that are going on in our society today? Yes, Jesus' standards are indeed very high. We might even be thought to be out of our minds, even to suggest that we could live at these high standards. But this is our living hope. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Fourthly, I think particularly, and I speak as one who's getting older, and we're all getting older, it's easy to get stuck in our ways. And the real challenge comes to seek change. But today, it's important that we're open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Think of all the things that are changing so rapidly in our society. All the technology, in fact, that's being used today, which, frankly, I'll admit at my age, at most of it, I don't understand. But actually, if we're going to get across our message of salvation through Jesus, we need to use all these new methods and these techniques. And we need prayer and guidance in order to be able to do it. How do we, in this day, reach out to our community? There was a meeting yesterday of the church wardens, the PCC, and others in the church, about several things that we need to be doing in our church and need to be changing. If we're going to do these things, we really need to have the courage to believe that if we're guided by the Holy Spirit, even if we take risks, God will guide us. Now, this isn't an easy thing to do, but we do need the courage to know and to believe that the Holy Spirit will guide us. And the changes that God might ask us to make, in fact, might be quite surprising. When I was preparing the sermon, I don't know why, but, well, let's say the Holy Spirit guided me to think about an incident in the Acts of the Apostles. Do you remember Philip the evangelist? He was taking a revival crusade, you could say, in Samaria. Great joy was being had. Things were really thriving. The church was growing. And suddenly God said to Philip, out of here, I want you in the desert. And Philip was taken from this amazing situation of revival to be alone in the desert, where he met a lone man in a chariot. And he was able to lead that man to Christ. That man happened to be an Ethiopian. And he probably, for the first time, took the gospel of Jesus to Africa. I bet Philip was surprised. It's surprising to read what God does at times. And perhaps it will surprise us very much what God will tell us, what he wants, how we want to change. Do we have the courage, in fact, to take that leading by the Holy Spirit? Finally, I want to come back to the very beginning of what I said about our commitment to Jesus Christ. I said at the beginning that courage is required to change our lives and accept Jesus into our lives as our Lord and Savior. But when we do that, actually it goes even further. In our gospel reading this morning, we read, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." That's really quite something that Jesus is asking of us. Jesus is emphasizing the fact that if we truly want to follow him, we have to put him first. And that well might mean sacrifice. It means that just as Jesus suffered, so we might expect to suffer for our faith. For us here, it might mean perhaps that we might be mocked at some time. Perhaps people will think we're a bit queer in the head. But it doesn't go much further than that. We don't really suffer rejection by society because of our faith in Jesus. But we should be prepared for it if it happens. But what I would like to say to you this morning, that there are millions of Christians throughout the world who really do suffer and suffer persecution, even death, because they wish to follow Jesus. And can I urge all of us, please, daily to pray for the persecuted church? Living the Christian life certainly does need courage. But this is the wonderful living hope that we have. To follow Jesus means that Jesus becomes our shepherd. And that means he is with us every moment of the day, that he loves us and he cares for us in all circumstances. And he eventually will bring us with him to our eternal home with God our Father. This is our living hope. Amen.